All right, well, good evening, everyone. We will go ahead and get started. I said I don't have Harold here tonight to keep me in line, and so kind of missed that. Anyway, it's good to see everybody this evening, and go on in and grab a seat. Welcome to our midweek service. And we will get started on some prayer requests this evening. We have quite a few, and then we'll spend some time in prayer, and then we'll bring the lesson tonight. You glad you're here tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. First Wednesday night following Jubilee. And so... everybody enjoy Jubilee. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, what a wonderful Jubilee. We had a great response, and every service and every person, every preacher, to me at least, seemed to be right in line with what the Lord wanted, and appreciate everyone who helped. Miss Jackie and Brother Jack, appreciate you guys. And everybody else who helped, and kind of miss it that it's over with, but long live Jubilee, right? Doesn't have to be over. But we have a lot to mention tonight, a lot of things to cover. We want to wrap up our Aaron study, so let's get to moving tonight. Let's remember Brother T.D. Burgess in our prayers, and as he, him and Miss Joy, they're back in Tennessee, of course, living their daily routine. Let's pray for them. Don Capistrano and her physical ailments. I believe she gave me, it was during Jubilee is when she let me know that she has some kind of blood cancer. Not really sure the details of that. Let's remember her on that. Jenny Clanton and her brother, Jesse Caudill. His surgery is on the 27th of this month. Kidney cancer. Let's remember him on that. Of course, Jeff and Sharon's son-in-law, his cancer. Brother Joe and Sister Lynn's daughter-in-law. Is that right? Sister-in-law. I don't know why I keep saying that. It's a lot to remember. Charlotte, let's remember her and hers. Cancer there. Let's remember Miss Shirley Townsend and hers. She's supposed to go for a PET scan here coming up very soon. So let's remember her on that. Let's remember Miss Betty Berry. I know you do. I know you pray for her. This is Brother Allen Clayton's mother-in-law. But she was in the hospital and came out the Saturday before Jubilee. A lot of people don't know that, but she was in and out on Saturday before Jubilee. But let's pray for her. Remember her in prayer when we pray. Let's also remember Eddie and Joanne Rich. That is a daughter of Joanne Ashley, Bentley, and Eli. Let's remember Carrie Bennett. She's having kidney surgery on the 22nd of April. Let's remember Gerald and Frances Carroll and her health. Let's continue to remember Miss Cece and her doctor's report on the 24th of April. Is that right? March. I get month 3 and month 4 mixed up. I don't know. I just don't know anymore. I got to write everything down, and I write it down, and I still don't do no good. So, and I highlight it, still don't do no good. So I'm actually learning by default on things. So at least we're all in together, right? All right. Let's remember that request, Miss CC, Ed and Marianne Sanvey. Brother Ed's doing good. He was here Sunday night. And let me just say this about Sunday night services. A lot of churches are not having Sunday night services. But Miss Marianne said this. She said, because we have Sunday night, Ed is able to be here. She said he wasn't able to come Sunday morning. You know, he just was not able to come, was not feeling well. And so he slept in and was, you know, got a couple meals in him. And because we have Sunday night, he was here. And I want to say that's why we have Sunday night. And that's why we continue. You know, you miss Sunday morning, come to Sunday night. And so that's why we have, it's too little to fit everything into one service anyway. At least three services a week to have that option for God's people. All right. Of course, Brother Don and Miss Carla, Sister Carla got back all right. And to Peru, safely there. And they're working and doing things in Peru. Brother Randy Ely, he texted me this morning. His mother was going to go to a nursing home, but things took a turn for the worst, and she's under hospice care now. And so she's kind of been in and out of that, but she's under hospice care. And so let's remember her in our prayers. Let's remember him. And also keep in mind that Diane, her brother has cancer, so a lot is going on under that house and that roof, under their rooftop. So let's remember them. Arnold McCrickard, let's remember him. He's still recovering from his surgery back when he had it. Has anybody talked to him lately? It's been before Jubilee since I talked with the McCrickards. Let's remember them. And, of course, the list goes on and on, different people. But let's remember all of these on the prayer list. Let's remember the Palmers as well. Spoke with, or at least I communicated, texted Miss Dolores today, and they're doing fine. Just a couple things here and there. Let's remember them. Maybe someone has a prayer request or a praise they want to mention tonight. Okay. Okay. Sure will. Do you have a hand up, brother?
We just met a dude over at Dairy Queen, 62-year-old gentleman with a car. Talking seemed real uncomfortable, but so in talking, he said he had stage 4 cancer. We had some laughs together. We told him to attend Calvary, so we told him that we would say prayers for him. So
his name is Roy.
His name is Roy.
About it.
Also, I first of all haven't had no contact with my manager because I work remote, but my manager is on quarantine right now and his wife is traveling to Colorado and they flew and they're both really sick and they were tested yesterday. So we'll pray that comes back next.
Absolutely. Let's remember this request tonight.
Okay.
Okay. All right. That's awesome. Absolutely. Feed that. Yes. Praise the Lord. We're praising the Lord with you. Yeah, feed that desire for sure. Praising the Lord with y'all with that. That's awesome. That is awesome. Brother David. Okay. Just remember Brother Harold. And I want to say something right quick about the whole Sunday night thing. Miss Mary Ann, she did. I was speaking with her Sunday night, and she requested prayer for the church down in Florida. Some of you may have talked with her. Or may even met some of her friends that came up. They have dwindled down to, I don't know, maybe literally a handful where she's from. And because of that, they've had to accommodate on Sunday morning. And so it's not that they down in Florida don't want to meet on Sunday night. It's just with the utilities and all, they just can't. And so that's a whole nother situation that's sad when you just can't do it. So we're not being unkind when we say that, you know. So, anybody else? All right, well, I know a lot has been said, a lot's going around about this coronavirus, and, you know, there's really not a lot I can say about it other than Lord wanted me to put on the sign this morning, 1 Peter 5:7. I know Miss Jackie and Brother Jack's been, they've had their hands full with moving, and they've cooked with Jubilee and all the dinners, and so I told them that they don't mind. I like to put a message on the sign, and so I really like the fact that all of those coming in over the bridge into Powder Springs, pretty much one of the main thoughts on a lot of people's minds would be that. It's all over the news. In fact, a lot of TV shows with live audiences are being canceled because of this virus. And I thought of nothing more fitting than to welcome Powder Springs with casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And you know, my word tonight, as far as the coronavirus, as far as any virus, I remember some years ago back at Zion View, it was the Ebola outbreak. And I remember the West Nile, and everybody was afraid to walk outside because of mosquitoes. And I'm not belittling this. I know that there's a little more involved with this. But I do want to say this, that it does not and is not catching Jesus by surprise. It's under His feet. It's all in His control. I know that anxiety is a real thing. I know that anxiety can cause a lot of people to shut down and retreat and stay in their house and live in fear. I also know that the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear. On the same token, I know that a lot of hand sanitizers and cleaners are off the shelf, and you know, and there's this visible presence of fear. But at the same time, I just want to encourage all of us that even now, where we're at in life, in the world system, and everything that's going on, we don't have to live in fear. We have it to this point. We don't have to now. That's why you just need to shut the news off, you know, and just trust Jesus with the whole thing. In fact, I was thinking about the verse on the way in, Romans 8:31. And basically, it's just a verse of encouraging us as believers. You know, if God be for us, the little word who can be against us. But I looked up the word who. Now, don't do this when you're driving. But I have each word on my phone, and it was actually in the seat. And I just tapped it and looked right quick. The word who means who or what. If God be for us, who or what can be against us? No virus, no person, no nothing can be against us. And if God wants a flu to take any one of us out, he will allow it. And if he don't, he won't allow it. And so what I say is, use all of our precautions. You know, keep your hands clean. And trust God with it, you know, and go on about your way. And so that's my word on the coronavirus midweek service. All right. Anything else before we pray? All right. Well, all that would, let's meet in the altar tonight, and all that are physically able and can, and or you can just take a seat on the altar up front. We will pray, and then we'll come back and finish up the series tonight on Aaron. In fact, tonight, let's just have us a silent prayer time. Just pray at your own leisure, and then we will bring the lesson. I want to make a quick announcement. I mentioned it Sunday night. If anybody's interested, this Saturday at Calvary Children's Home in the gymnasium at 3 o'clock, Miss Darlene said the doors open at 2, will be a wrestling event. And there will be gospel mingled in with it. And so I guess they will body slam each other and quote John 3:16. So I've got to witness this. And no, it won't be me in the ring doing it. Awfully tempting, but anyway, I'm going to take Lily. We're going to go check it out. But anyway, if you like to go, know somebody that wants to go, This is a free event. All right. Let's take our Bibles tonight and go to the Old Testament book of Numbers. Numbers chapter number 12. Numbers 12. And for the, seems like the longest time now, we've been looking at a character study of Aaron. Aaron in the Bible. And this will be our fifth and our final lesson on the life of Aaron. And we know that Aaron is the brother of Moses. And what I want to do tonight, I want to just do a brief summary over the life of Aaron, what we've covered so far. And I want to mention the last 2 points tonight. And I think the last 2 points we probably all can relate to the most. And actually the title, I've actually titled the lesson tonight, Aaron's Ups and Downs. So if you like writing down titles, I like giving titles, Aaron's Ups and Downs. But over the last several Wednesday nights, we've been looking into the life of Aaron. And if you remember, we started, looking at Aaron and his call. Aaron and his call. And we know that his call was in two parts. Number one, his part had to do, or the first part of his call had to do with Aaron being partner. And he was partner with his brother Moses. Now, under that umbrella of being partner with Moses had to do with two things. Number one, it had to do with Aaron being his spokesman. Aaron was Moses' mouthpiece, if you remember. In the book of Exodus, you don't have to turn there. You can write the verses down or just record them if you like for later. But in Exodus chapter 4, in verse 10, and also verses number 14 through 16, we see that Moses had an excuse as to why he couldn't speak. He said, Lord, I'm not eloquent. Lord, I have stage fright. I can't get up in front of nobody. Lord, I can't be your mouthpiece. And so because of that, he raised up Aaron, his brother, to be his spokesman. And so we have here that Aaron was his partner. Aaron was his spokesman. And really what we have here, we have the Bible's first associate pastor. And that's my belief anyway. A lot of commentators hold to that belief. And so we have the first associate pastor. We have Aaron, which is Moses' spokesman. He's his partner. And again, all of this having to do with Aaron's call. And so we have Aaron being Moses' spokesman. But also the second part of that partnership not only has to do with him being his spokesman, but him being his supporter. If you remember in Exodus 17 and verse number 5, and also in verse number 9 through 12, you remember when Moses had that rod in one hand and he was lifting it up, and as he was lifting it up, Israel was winning, and then his hand got tired, and then he lifted it up with the other hand, and then Israel was winning, and then of course, while both hands were down or one hand was down, we know the Amalekites, they were winning. The enemy was winning. But then came along Aaron and Hur and lifted up Moses' arms so that the God's team, Israel, could win. And so we see here that Aaron was a supporter of Moses. And he was a supporter of Moses. He came alongside of, he was his associate, and he helped encourage Moses in this fashion. And we can also glean from this in our lives. We're to come alongside one another, not just leaders and teachers, but we're to come alongside one another. We're to encourage one another. We see a brother or a sister, a family member, something like that, get weak or fall off or start to wane down in strength. We're to come alongside of, we're to lift up. You know, even a phone call makes a big difference. You know, someone misses, and I kind of have a thing, And this is just my thing when it comes to being a pastor, kind of something I've developed since I've been in the ministry. You know, everybody's entitled to miss a Sunday. Everybody is. You know, when I first started pastoring back at Zion View, somebody would miss a Sunday. I was on the phone. You okay? Everybody okay? What's going on? You know, and I mean, it dawned on me one day. Everybody's entitled to miss a Sunday. You know, and so I don't call every time somebody misses a Sunday. You know, and so normally somebody misses two Sundays. I may not call, but it'll be on my radar. Two Sundays, okay, maybe they're out of town. Definitely three Sundays they'll get a call, because if they're out of town, I don't know about it, they're definitely on the radar. And so you'll be surprised, though, the amount of Sundays that go by and somebody may be going through something and just nobody calls. Nobody checks on them. They can be going through a storm, and they can be in retreat mode. They can be wanting somebody to, and I know, you know, we've all been there in retreat mode, wanting somebody to reach out to us, kind of just, you know, self-pity, that kind of thing. We've all been there. But on the other side of it, wanting to be or needing to be an encourager and the call to be an encourager, we ought to do that. We ought to reach out and call and to be a help to someone who's in need. We are to be our brother's keeper. We are to be our sister's keeper, because we know what it's like to be on the receiving end. We know what it's like to be in that place that's dark and gloomy. Well, that's what Aaron was. He was, when it comes to his call, he was in his partnership. He was supporting Moses. He held his arms up. And then he was his spokesman. He spoke for Moses. And so God would speak to Moses, and then Moses would speak to Aaron, and Aaron would speak to the people of God. And so we talked about that over the course of one or two lessons. But then we started to look at Aaron the priest. Aaron the partner, but then Aaron the priest. And we looked at this over the course of one or two lessons. And we looked at Aaron being around the age of 30 when he was priest, when he was called into his priesthood. We also looked at Aaron and his rod that had budded. We looked at Aaron and his certain priestly duties that he had, the tabernacle and the altar, the lamps and all of those things. We looked at the Ark of the Covenant, and we looked at that. We looked at Aaron and his priestly garments. Remember talking about that? We looked at all those things. We looked at Aaron and his consecration. Remember, that was our last lesson we looked at, when Aaron, he had to go inside the tabernacle, and the first part of it was he had to stay there for 7 days. Part of his consecration was 7 days inside the tabernacle. And we mentioned at that point, wonder what that would be like for us. I mean, we just had Jubilee. We had 6 services. And I want to tell you what, I mean, that was coming in and leaving. It did me a world of good. Day number one did me a world of good. Sunday morning, I was revived. I mean, Sunday night, even better. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But we were in and out. Imagine Aaron, what he did. Aaron and his sons, they went inside the tabernacle and they stayed there. The world was on the outside and they were shut in the tabernacle for 7 days. No world, no communication, no distraction, no nothing, just the inside with him and his Lord. Think about it. What would happen? I know what would happen. There would be strongholds broken, possibly. There will be relationships revived, number one, between us and the Lord. And think about who God would put on your heart, the things that would take place. There's no extent to the things that could happen if we would do what this consecration involved, 7 days in the tabernacle. And so that's what we talked about even then, our last lesson. We talked about how that Aaron had a consecration. And so that was the other part of Aaron's call, was the priestly call. And we mentioned all those things. And then we looked at his partnership. He was Moses' supporter. He was Moses' spokesman. All of that was under the umbrella of his call, and that took four lessons. Tonight, we're going to wrap it up and finish with this last lesson, and that is, and I told you the title of it is Aaron's Ups and Downs, but actually we're going to talk about, in that, we're going to talk about Aaron and his compassion and his compromise. His compassion and his compromise. Aaron, although he was a partner to Moses, and although Aaron was a priest, Aaron actually compromised some things. And saying that he actually compromised some things, Aaron, at his heart, in the innermost parts of his heart, was a man of compassion. And so let's look at these things tonight. Let's start off with compassion. And so number one, we see Aaron's ups and downs. We see Aaron up. Compassion of Aaron. Let's look at his compassions. In Numbers chapter number 12, I want you to notice something. In verse number 10 through 12, Aaron, we see, intercedes for Miriam, his sister, when she is plagued with leprosy. Numbers chapter number 12, verse number 10 through 12. Notice what it says. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. We see here Aaron intercedes for Miriam, his sister, when she is plagued with leprosy. This is a picture of the compassion of Aaron. Now, I want you to notice the full story here. In verse number 1, we see that Miriam is actually an instigator and a ringleader. The Bible says in verse number 1, And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman, and they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. There will be a prophet among you. I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, whom is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. In the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Let me say this. Originally, we have, and some commentators say this, that it was Zipporah, Moses' wife, had died. And there was this time frame where Miriam had the attention of Moses as his sister. And she knew she could be influential with him. And she knew she had his attention. But all of a sudden, right before she had any time to be influential with him, here came this Ethiopian woman, And buddy, she got jealous and she got mad and she got angry, and she actually was able to sway Aaron along on her bandwagon in this deal. I want you to notice in verse number 2. In verse number 2, the Bible says, and they said, he's in on it too, Aaron is, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Now, I am getting a little ahead because we are going to look at Aaron's compromise in here, because there is a part of Aaron that gets a little jealous. You see, Miriam, I believe, wanted a little bit of influence. She wanted a little bit of authority. She wanted a little bit of say-so. And while there was no woman in the life of Moses, she was able to be that woman, but she didn't have enough time because now he got married and she wasn't able to be that woman. She was angry. She was mad. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? She was angry. Notice this. And the Lord heard it. The Lord heard that. All right? The Lord heard this talk. The Lord knew about this anger against his servant. I want to say something. This is the cream of the crop. We're all in this thing together tonight. God does not condone filthy talking. God does not condone. God is not for any kind of backbiting against God's people. We are in this thing together. We are to encourage one another. We are not to be. We are not to crossfire. I can say it that way. We are to build one another up. We are on the same team. I was watching a show the other day, and a counselor was interviewing a man and a woman, and the counselor was looking at the man and said, what's the problem? He said, I don't know. I'm doing all that I can. And he looked at her and said, what's the problem? She goes, I don't know. I'm doing all I can, but he's the problem. She goes, what do you mean? You're on the same team. And so there was an indifference there. And so these are supposed to be on the same team. But she was getting envious. She wanted to sway Moses. She wanted to have this voice. She wanted to be influential, whatnot, have some power. But the Lord heard it. Look at verse number 3. I want you to notice something in verse number 3. This got me today. In verse number 3, the Bible says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. This is not the same Moses that was back in Exodus 2:12. The Moses back in Exodus 2:12 killed an Egyptian and buried him in the sand. This Moses is seeing what's going on with Miriam, and he's taking it. This is a patient Moses. This is a Moses that has some patience about him. This is a Moses that's leading Israel. This is a Moses that knows how to go to God with his problems. This is a Moses that is taking it, that has developed some thick hide over time. And I want to say to all of us, starting with this guy right here, that is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to develop and mature over time, that it doesn't matter if there's any kind of Miriams in the church, any kind of people along the way that give a tongue lashing, that says anything, that tries to rise up against us, we are supposed to take it patiently, and bear it out. Moses, the man of God, he says, now the man Moses was very meek. Hey, back in the day, Moses would have took whoever and drug him out, killed him, and buried him in the sand. Not now. Moses is being patient. Moses knows Moses. That's the thing about it. And so although Moses knows that his sister's up to no good, and although Moses knows that Aaron ought to be thankful, because you remember, it was Aaron that pleased Israel with a golden calf. Moses was on top of the mountain receiving the tablets of stone, and he got word from God, you better go down there and handle your brother Aaron. He had made the golden calf, and they're dancing around there. Moses came down and dealt with that and called on God for the behalf of Aaron and the children of Israel. Aaron should have been thankful. But Aaron is actually on the bandwagon with Miriam. And here's Moses taking it patiently. You know why he's taking it patiently? Because he has developed through the years. He knows his role. He knows how people work. He's been there. He's done that. He knows how it feels to be a failure. He knows what it's like to commit murder and to bury somebody and to be on the run. He don't want to go that route anymore. He wants to take the high road. Don't you want to take the high road tonight? I mean, even when you are possibly suffering something from somebody unrighteously, somebody maybe you're accused of something you didn't do. Maybe you've been taken the wrong way. Maybe somebody has something against you that they shouldn't have. Take the high road. You know what I'm saying? Be like Jesus. So you walk into church this coming Sunday morning and somebody says something against you, guess what? Smile at them and say, Jesus loves you. Take the high road. Be like Moses. That's what Moses did. Now look at verse number 4. And the Lord spake suddenly. You see, when we give our problems to the Lord, when we allow Him to take care of it, heaven moves on our behalf. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Look what he said. Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle congregation. And they three came out. God said, we're having a meeting. Have you ever been in a situation in life where, I don't know, I don't even know how to word it other than saying that you just found yourself in some kind of meeting. I don't know, you were in a meeting. You were in a situation where it was you and some people. You found yourself in a situation where maybe you knew you weren't wrong, and God has set you in a situation where truth might be revealed through you. What a wonderful time that is when you're allowed to be the truth bearer. Verse number 5 says, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. In the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. Judgment was upon her. She was the originator. She was the ringleader. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. He could have said, you know what? You are a bad influence on me, woman. You got what you deserve. I'm going back over here with big bro Moses, and you got what you deserve. Verse number 11, and Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly. Aaron is tenderhearted. He has a compassion about himself, and wherein we have sinned. He acknowledged his role. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. What do we see here? We see that Aaron is interceding for Miriam, his sister, when she is plagued with leprosy. Regardless of his role, Aaron is a compassionate man. He intercedes. He acknowledges. He does not lash out and say, she's guilty. Where's the rod at? Let me strike her first. No. He intercedes. So ought to be the case in the house of God. We ought to be that way. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 1 is such a great verse to build a church on. And it talks about, my goodness, it escapes my mind right now. Brethren, if you see a brother overtaken in sin, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We can sin, but our attitude ought to be restoration, not annihilation. And so we see that there. But now I want us to look in number 16 for a moment. Notice, if you would, in number 16. Number 16, verse number 48. I want to briefly summarize something and we'll... Now they've moved on from that experience, Moses and Aaron. They're now serving. Now there's a person by the name of Korah. And in chapter number 16, Korah makes a statement to Moses in verse number 3. And also in verse number 7. And the statement is this: Moses, Aaron, you guys have taken on too much. Verse number 3, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you. Verse number 7, and put fire therein and put incense in them before the Lord to tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. That's actually Moses mocking what Korah and his men said. What that means is this: Korah is wanting and is envious of Moses and Aaron and their position. In other words, Korah is saying, Moses, you put yourself in that position. Aaron, you put yourself in that position as leader and as priest of Israel. You're taking on too much. You put yourself there. Korah and his men are envious. And so, like Moses, he throws out a contest. And make the story short, in verse number 32, the whole earth, or the earth, opens up in a big mouth and swallows up Korah and his men. So now Israel is mad because a lot of the Israelites were swallowed up in that contest. And in verse number 41, the Bible says, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. Isn't that something? I mean, the enemy started something. Korah started something among the people of God. And that's what the enemy does. Tries to start something among the people of God, trying to say that they put themselves there. And so the Lord just swallowed that situation up by the earth. But some of Israel went with them because they sided with the enemy. But now, verse number 41, there's this complaint against Moses and against Aaron because of some of Israel went in the earth with them. But I want you to notice in verse number 46, we see the compassionate Moses and Aaron. Verse number 46, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. How about that? In spite of the murmuring, in spite of that, make an atonement for them. Go before God and ask God to forgive them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. Verse 47, and Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. Look at verse 48. This is an awesome verse. This is Aaron. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Aaron, intercession. A heart of compassion, staying before the dead and the living. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Here is Aaron with the children of Israel murmuring against him and Moses. They were totally innocent. A lot had already died, yet there was plenty that was still living. And Aaron said, Lord, please let them live. Please, they don't know what they do. Please, isn't that a picture of Jesus on the cross? Lord, please let them live. Please let them live. They don't know what they do. The compassionate Aaron. The compassionate Aaron. And so we see that here in the book of Numbers. As you see, it's a lot to fit into one particular lesson. And it's just not right to even try. You know? It's just not right to even try. It's injustice, really. Let me mention something else. And so we see the compassion of Aaron. And again, the title is Aaron's Ups and Downs. This is his up. And then lastly, I want to look at his down. And this would have to do with Aaron's compromise. We've seen his up, his compassion, having to do with Miriam and his intercession. And then Aaron's intercession with Israel. But now we see Aaron in his down. This is his compromise. Overall, Aaron was a faithful and committed servant of the Lord. In his life, he made several mistakes and had several weaknesses like all of us. I just want to name a few of them tonight, and we'll be through. Exodus 32. I mentioned the golden calf earlier. Look in Exodus 32 for a moment. Exodus 32. One of the compromises of Aaron during a down part of his life, he was influenced by the crowd. He compromised by being influenced by the crowd. Exodus 32, notice if you would in verse number 1. And when the people saw, again, Moses was on top of Mount Sinai, and he was along with God, and he was receiving the Ten Commandments. And when the people saw, verse 1, chapter 32, saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. I want to stop there for just a moment. In verse number 1, something interesting here. We see, number 1, the impatience of the people. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, notice this, we wot not what is become of him. We just don't know what's wrong with him. We thought he would have something for us by now. He's been up there for so long. There's this delay. I mean, it's been all this time. You know, it was just they were impatient with him. And so they were impatient with Moses. They just didn't know what was becoming of him. And really, there was nothing wrong with Moses. Moses was waiting on God, and Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments, and it was just really a matter of time before everything started to transpire. And so this was actually a call for courage for Aaron. If you notice, verse number 1, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. They tested Aaron. And said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we will not be what is become of him. And so now Aaron is put to the test. I want to ask us all a question. What will we do when we're put to the test? When nobody's around, nobody's looking. Moses was up on the mountain, and there was Aaron up, make us gods. What are we going to do when we're put to the test? You know, when we're in public and someone asks us, what do you believe? You know, do you believe Jesus is the way to heaven? What are we going to say? You know, whatever the situation may be, something to think about. He says, up, make us gods. Well, he had an opportunity to say, no, we're not going to do that. We're worshiping the one and only true God, and we're waiting on Moses, and he hasn't came down yet, and so we're waiting. But he didn't do that. In verse number 2, the Bible says, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which are on the ears of your wives. And you know the rest of it. Verse number 3, it was snowballing. It was taking place. They were being broke off, the earrings and such. Verse number 4, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it, a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Wow. That is very, very bold. I mean, Moses is up here receiving the Ten Commandments and no other gods before me, and they're making gods at that very moment. And Aaron is the one in charge. And so all of this is taking place, and I've got to hurry. All of this is taking place. And Aaron is lacking courage here. We read in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse number 9. God tells Joshua to take courage, be of good heart, take courage. And so he's lacking courage. And then verse number 6, the Bible says, and they rose up early in the morning on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink. And rose up to play. And rose up to play, that means lewdness and uncleanness. That isn't swinging on the swing set. Rose up to play. No. And we read all that down there. Verse number 11, and Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? And Moses, of course, he's alerted of all this taking place. And then in verse number 19, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh to the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. He broke the Ten Commandments that God wrote with his very finger. Have you ever experienced something that God's done in your life only to shatter it? I've done that before. You ever had shattered dreams before? God done something in your life only to shatter it? Moses was on the mountain. God, with his very finger, was writing the Ten Commandments. Moses, in his anger, got so mad he broke it. He broke it. And then in verse number 20, and he took the calf which they had made and burn it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel to drink it. What a, as a wild man. Boy, he cleaned house, didn't he? He came down from there, broke the tablets of stone, took care of the calf and burned it, strawed it on the water, got the water, and made them all drink it. And then he walked over to Aaron and had a talk with his brother. He said in verse 1, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron explained, verse 22, and Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods. They did. We shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. So, you know, he's talking his way through it, you know. And verse 25, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. All of these things. Verse 31, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Then verse number 32, yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Does that sound familiar of a New Testament writer? Anybody got an idea? Who else wrote that in the New Testament? Moses is saying, if it's possible, blot out my name for their forgiveness. Paul said that in the New Testament. Verse number 35, and the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. What do we see here? We see that it was a compromise. Compromise. I know that I took the long way through, but it was a compromise. This was a down part of Aaron's life, and it had to do with lack of courage. How we need courage tonight. We all need courage in these last days. We won't go through Numbers 12 again. That was just, again, that's Miriam and that situation. But again, Aaron had a hand in that with Miriam. He was part of that. Had to do with jealousy in some measure. Again, some believe Zipporah, back in Numbers 12. Some believe Zipporah, Moses' wife, had died. And this would make room for his sister, Miriam, to be influential. And so he remarried. And this made her mad. And so this was what caused the Lord to strike her with leprosy. And the compromise of Aaron, mistakes. He was influenced by the crowd, jealousy in Numbers 12. But then lastly, he was disobedient to God. I'll close with this out of Numbers 20. I know I've thrown a lot at you tonight, but in Numbers 20, I'll just give it to you. In Numbers 20, in verse number 8, we know that the Lord told Moses to speak to the rock for water. Moses struck it. Not only did he struck it twice. Pow, pow. And so, you know, we do see Moses and his anger surfacing from time to time. So he struck it. The Lord told him to speak to it. But if you remember back in Exodus 17, though, in Exodus 17, in verse number 6, then he was told to strike it. Okay? Now he's told to speak to it. This is a picture of something. It's actually a foreshadow. Now, he was told to strike it in Exodus 17:6, and he did, and water came forth. Now he's told to speak to it. And you know, when Jesus died on the cross, he was smitten only once, only had to die once. Now we can speak to him because of that. He doesn't have to die twice because he was smitten, he was slain on the cross. There's a new and living way we can go into his presence and speak to him. Moses and Aaron got in trouble here in hot water, because they struck the rock. It only had to be struck once, and that was back in Exodus. It was time to speak to the rock. But Aaron was definitely in trouble with this. Down in verse number 12, we see of Numbers 20, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not. And the Bible goes on and it talks about ye you will not go into the promised land. Ultimately, it will be the case. They did not speak to the rock, but he struck it, and Aaron was part of that. Let me say this in conclusion. Aaron lived to be 123 years old, and Aaron died in the wilderness. He, as well as Moses, did not get to go and see the promised land, but he died at 123 years old, and he died in the wilderness. But that's the life of Aaron in five lessons. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. We're thankful, Lord, for our sweet Wednesday night crowd. Lord, I'm thankful for them. Lord, I pray that somehow, some way, something we've said would be a blessing, Lord. Nothing we've ever said was to harm or hurt, but always to try to educate and help. Lord, pass on something we've learned. Lord, and I just pray that we would help always to sharpen one another. Lord, as we come together and worship you, I pray that you'd be with us Sunday. I pray that a soul will be saved, and I pray that we would all be encouraged. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're at liberty to go.